restrictor. Matter of fact, the Satan is described as a serpent. Amen? And there are some serpents that restrict, don't they? Yes. Satan is a restrictor. God is a giver. Yes. And Satan wants to put you in prison, but Jesus wants to break you out of prison. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? He wants to break any bondage that you may have in your life. And you say, well, I don't have any bondages. Okay? Prove it. Act it out. You know, one time, I was working late in Illinois. At that time, I was working for a tree doctor. I got paid to climb trees. It had its ups and downs, but it wasn't too bad. Anyway, I came to church late, and they were singing a song about freedom. And, you know, I had just gotten there. I just kind of sat towards the back, and all of a sudden, something on the inside of me, just a little voice in there, just said, well, if you're free, why don't you act like it? And I was like, I thought about it for a second. I said, okay. So you know what I did? I stepped out of the aisle, into the aisle, and I just started to dance. You know, I just acted like I was free. Right. Amen? Amen? And boy, I tell you what. You know, sometimes the freedom comes when you step out in faith. Yes. Amen? Amen? Well, God wants you to be free today. He doesn't want you to take any hindrance or any block into the new year. Amen? So today you're going to get your slate clean. And if God needs to pressure wash you, amen, so be it. Amen? So I simply titled this today, Removing Blocks and Clearing the Way. Because God wants to remove the blocks and he wants to clear the way. And if you want to go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, we're going to read about a man named John. And he had a specific message to get people ready to receive the Lord. You know, God never does anything in the earth without preparing it beforehand. How many times did he have prophets talk about the coming of a Savior or the coming of a Messiah until it came? Amen. He was preparing the people before he came. And those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, he is preparing us for the final, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll tell you what, you haven't seen a party until you've been to the marriage supper of the Lamb that God's been planning for thousands and thousands of years. There's been a lot of preparation taking place in heaven and on earth so God can move everything where it needs to be so that he can have his will done. So God never does anything without preparation. You know, preparation time is never lost time. Women who like to cook, isn't there some prep time? Amen? If you like to fix things, isn't there some prep time? You got to get the tools. You got to get what you need ready. You know, can you imagine going into an emergency room and having the doctor say, oops, I'm not ready yet. Can you come back later? You know, they better be ready in the emergency room, right? They have things ready in seconds. What do they call it? Stat. I need this stat, right? Whatever that means, it means right now. Anyway, but God wants to prepare us today for 2014 because he's got some good things in store. Amen? And if you want to, today is the day to hook up with God. Today is the day to leave our junk behind, to leave all the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble represents all the things that we've done on our own without God. Amen? In Luke chapter 3, we read that, we'll go down to verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Aren't you glad the word comes? Amen? The word wants to be involved and active in your life, and God's word will come to you, and it will tell you things. It will instruct you in things. It will correct things. Amen? Amen? You know, we're fully equipped with everything that we need to be righteous. And he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So the word to John was, I want to give you a message of repentance. And so John took what he heard from heaven, and he started to carry it out. He started to do it. He started to work it. Amen? Listen, if God speaks to you, you can't sit on the log. Because God's word requires action. It requires you to do something. That's why he said, be doers of the word and not his hearers only. God never meant for us just to hear and not do anything with it. Do you realize what you're hearing? You're hearing the word of life. Jesus said in John 6:68, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So, anyway, let's get back. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Listen, this is good news today. Yes. Amen? These are good things that God wants to do in you today. So, do you realize that John found his message and his ministry in the Word of God? Where do you think you're going to find your message and your ministry? In the Word of God. God is going to give you a scripture that's going to define what he wants you to do. Amen? Mine is Galatians 3:29. And it says, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That defines my ministry. That's where we get the phrase, we're inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. Amen? So, and I like verse 6. This is what's going to happen today. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You know, when God's word goes forth and Jesus confirms his word, you're going to see things. You're going to hear things and you're going to see things because God is a demonstrating God. He wants you to put your faith in the power of God, not in the eloquence or the intellectualism or the intelligence of man. Amen? You got to put your faith in God's power because we have a Holy Spirit and he likes to demonstrate, he likes to show God's power. He likes to activate the Word of God. How many know when God created this world, he said something, then he saw something? God said, let there be light, and he saw that what he said was good. So there's always a seeing that comes with God working and God moving. So here was John. And he had a message. Then, verse 7, then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. Now, how many of us would respond to this altar call? You're coming to get baptized, and the preacher's calling you a generation of vipers. You bunch of snakes, you. That's what John was saying. I'm paraphrasing. All right? I'm not calling you snakes, okay? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Isn't it amazing how John had a ministry in the wilderness? And people came to John in the wilderness. You can be wherever God tells you to be and people will come. Amen? When you're doing what God's called you to do, God will do the rest. All you got to do is be where he says be and do what he says do, and God will take care of the rest. Amen? Amen? Then he said in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. I'm talking to you today about repentance. And later in this message, you're going to have an opportunity to repent. Amen? And all that simply means is to change. All that means is to come in divine alignment with God's total and perfect will for your life. Amen. Repentance is not a bad word. It's a good word. How many of us like soap? Soap is good, isn't it? Soap clears the junk off your body. Well, repentance is simply like soap. It just cleans us so that God can use us. He began and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. See, the religious people thought that they were okay because Abraham was their father. But you know, it was the religious people that couldn't cast the stone on the woman who was caught in adultery because not one of them was without sin. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. I like John. He deals with roots. Don't just deal with the fruit. Sometimes you got to deal with the roots. Amen? He's taking the axe to the roots. We're taking the axe to the roots today. The root cause of what has caused you to miss the mark with God. Today is a day where you can make it right. Today is a day where you can come out of darkness and into the light. You can experience God's power and His might. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? This was the people's response. What shall we do? If you don't know how to respond today, I'm giving you the answer. What shall we do? Say that with me. Say, what shall I do? That's your response to today's message. Amen? And he answered them, saying, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. He that has meat, let him do likewise. Then came the publicans. These are the tax collectors to be baptized. Praise God, the tax collectors get baptized. Amen? And said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. In other words, he was exposing the greed that was behind them getting even into those positions. They were greedy because they would exact more than what was required. And if you read the Gospels, the publicans weren't too, they weren't such a favorite group of people to everybody. No one had anything good to say about the public. They were surprised that Jesus, he ate with publicans? Hey, publicans need Jesus too. Amen? And then the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? He said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. He was telling the soldiers, don't use your position to manipulate the people. And that can happen sometimes. You know, when we were in Sierra Leone, it was very funny because I traveled with we had a medical team and a leadership team. And we were doing leadership conferences during the day and evangelistic services at night. And then they had a medical mission, okay? And when we were going through the airport, if you've ever been through the airport, you got to go through checks and security and all that stuff. And one of the guys at the airport was wanting to make us pay for these bags that we had. They had all the medicine in there, okay? Now, what was funny was we had permission from the minister of health department from Sierra Leone, the government official. So when this guard was giving us a hard time, one of the guys I went with, his name is Usman, he said, I'm going to have my boss talk to your boss. And 5 minutes later, the guy got a call from the minister of health, and he said, okay, you guys are clear. Don't mess with us, amen? He's telling the people to make some changes. What are you willing to change today? What are you willing to do differently in 2014 that you didn't do in 2013? Amen? And if you don't think you need to change, well, then we really need to pray for you. Amen? We'll have a deliverance service. And as the people were in expectation, all the men and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he was the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one is mightier than I cometh. The latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. We're going to have some Holy Ghost and fire today. Amen? Amen? We need some fire to burn off some of that junk. Okay? Now go with me to Isaiah 40. And this describes the ministry of John, which is really what I want to talk to you today about. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. He said, "Comfort, comfort my people." God wants to comfort you today. Listen, God's not here to condemn you. He doesn't point out our sin to say how bad we are. He points out our sin so he can heal it. Sin is a curse. Sin is destructive. Sin separates you from God. And sin is simply missing the mark. Y'all are quiet today. That's okay. I've been trained to preach in all kinds of conditions. Amen? I don't need you to say amen to make it preach better, but you know what? When you say amen, the preaching gets better. Hallelujah. He said, "Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned." Today, I want you to know that your iniquity is pardoned. God wants to pardon you. That means when you're pardoned, it's like you have never sinned. Amen? So, the mistakes that you've made in the past, they're going to be under the blood. They're not going to come up anymore because we're going to deal with the root today. Amen? And God is going to prepare the way, and we are all going to see the glory of God today. We're going to see the salvation of God. We're going to see the goodness of God today. You want to see it? Then stay with me. Stay hooked up. I need your attention. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So we know that God sends comfort to his people. He sent his messenger, John, to preach to the people. And he told them that their warfare is ended, their iniquity is pardoned. And we know that John is a voice. I want you to know that he's a voice, not an echo. He had an original message from God. He had a call from God Almighty, and this is why John got into the womb of Elizabeth in the first place. This is why when he heard the word Jesus, when he heard Mary greeting his mother, he was like, "Get me out of this womb. I got some things to do." John was the only one who was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. Amen. That's not a normal thing, but that's how God designed John for his ministry. See, John was a forerunner. He was a herald to go before the Lord and to prepare the way. Amen? Amen. Don't you think that when President Obama travels, there's some people going on before him to prepare the way? I'll tell you what, you got Secret Service agents that are going to make sure that the location is secure so that when the president goes there, everything is okay. They have it all planned out ahead of time. Well, how much more? If God wants to do a work in your heart, he's going to prepare the people. Okay? And we're going to get prepared today for what God wants to do. All right? He was the voice of a prophet, and he published and proclaimed aloud, publicly, with great eagerness and fervency. He had freedom and liberty to preach in the wilderness. I guarantee you, John did not have a complex about preaching. He didn't get up into the desert and say, "I don't know what I'm going to say." Well, I tell you what, he had, you know, because the Bible said there's going to come one of the spirit and the power of Elijah. And just like Elijah, John was a reformer. John had some fire in his bones. Elijah called fire from heaven, but John had fire in his bones. And when you got fire in your bones, you don't have a guilt complex. You don't have a fear complex. You're just bold as a lion. We need some people who are bold as lions. You are out of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. You've got the lion on the inside of you. And the world needs to hear you roar. Young people, you need to be bold as a lion to your peers. The world may apply prayer pressure, but we put on gospel pressure, which is love. A whole lot of things are coming out today. Okay? And so John, he preached repentance and he baptized people. And he gave a message of hope. All right? He said, prepare the way. Did you know that Jesus is the way? You cannot get to heaven any other way. There's no other way where you can be saved other than the name of Jesus. He's the way to heaven. He's the way up. He's the right way. And he's the way of holiness. Hallelujah. And there is a way. And God said in Isaiah 57, 14, you don't have to turn there, just write it down, it's in your bulletin. Prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way. There are some blocks that you have today that are causing you to stumble. There are some blocks that are hindering you from doing what God wants you to do. There are some blocks in your life that have to be removed. So we got to prepare the way today. We got to chip away at those blocks. I don't want to chip away. I got some dunamis power. I got some dynamite. And pop, we'll blow those blocks to pieces. I hope you leave today and you're ashamed to sin. I want you to be ashamed to sin. Go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. For those of you that don't have good family relationships, you can rejoice at this verse. Part of what John did, part of what John was called to do, look at Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Listen, if there's anybody that can turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of children to the fathers, it is God Almighty. And if you've had a bad relationship, today you need to give it to the Lord. Today you need to let God heal those wounds. And today you need to believe that God can restore this relationship. And you don't stop believing. Amen. I don't care if it takes 20 years. You don't stop believing. Took Abraham 25 years to have his Isaac. Don't stop believing. Don't stop committing them unto God. Amen. Amen. And parents, if you need to make adjustments, make adjustments. Children, you need to make adjustments. Make adjustments today. Because there's an anointing here to turn our hearts. And ultimately, all of us need to have our hearts turned to Father God. You weren't designed to live this Christian life on your own. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. John came to bear witness of the light. He testified that Jesus is the Son of God and he's the Lamb of God. John knew his place. John said, Jesus must increase. Because John knew that Jesus was above all. He knew that he was sent from heaven. He knew that he has all things. And whoever believes in him has everlasting life. I want you to believe God today. I want you to believe God that you can change. Amen? That things can get better. That you can experience the goodness and the glory of God. That's what God wants for you. God wants us to have a higher life. A spiritual life. So the only way that we can prepare the way for the Lord is to repent, is to change, is to cry out to God. You've got to make a decision to turn your heart to God. God won't turn your heart for you, but he gives you the invitation. He gives you the invitation that we've got to respond to that invitation and we've got to just turn our hearts to him. Amen? Amen? Do you realize if you've been looking at the wrong thing, you're going to be led the wrong way? Because where your eyes go, the man follows. As you think in your heart, so are you. What a message. Preach repentance and administered baptism. I wonder, did John dunk him once? Did he dunk him twice? Or did he hold him under till they really repented? See, you got to make a plan. The way you make room for God in your life is to repent. Repentance was the message that John preached. Repentance was the first message that Jesus preached. And repentance was the first message that the apostles preached. So there must be something to this repentance message. If Jesus and the apostles preached it, amen? Well, at least you can say you've been to a church that preaches repentance. Some people don't. I mean, there are some churches that don't preach what I'm telling you today. They want to make you feel all nice and fine and you know what? But I want to tell you something. Jesus died on a cross. And the death that he died was very severe and very tragic, and that was the only way that he had to pay for our sins. Aren't you glad that someone paid for your sins? Doesn't that make you happy? That you don't have to foot the bill for that? So John came to prepare the way. And he prepared the way by repentance and baptism. Amen. Now, his was a baptism of water, but he said, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay? Second thing that John did was he wanted to make his path straight. You know, in the rugged country of the wilderness, sometimes paths aren't straight. If you're on a path and there's a mountain in your way, let me just give you this example, okay? The Lord wants me to go over there, all right? So I'm on the path, but all of a sudden, there's something in my way, okay? Now, I have two options. I could go around it, or actually, I have three options. I could go around it, but that's going to make me lose time, isn't it? Sometimes we've lost time in obeying God because we're going around things that we should be going through them. Or I could go through it, but that's going to take a lot of time because I'm going to have to blast my way through. Or supernaturally, I could have that mountain removed. I can speak to that mountain, command it to be removed, cast into the sea, and if I do not doubt in my heart, if I believe whatsoever I say, I can have whatever I say, and that mountain will be removed. And look at how much time it saved me. Sometimes sin can be like that mountain. And God has to make things straight. He has to make paths straight. His path is a narrow way. His path is a light, and the light of God should get brighter and brighter. If you're following God, your light should increase, not decrease. You know, your life should be getting brighter. You should be increasing in the knowledge of God. You should be walking in greater benefits. The more you walk with the Lord, amen? So, but God's got to make the path straight. It's a firm path that you walk on. And your path, what you choose is the way you live. It's your lifestyle. Your path is how you live. How you live your life is how you walk on the path. Is your path crooked or straight? What's the shortest distance between two places? Straight line. Or unless you're a pilot, it's like a curve. But we're not flying, so a straight line. Notice the straight line. The straighter your life is, the more easier your path becomes. Oh, God wants us to live a straight life. In God's measuring tools, He doesn't account for curves. His measuring tool is straight. It's to the point, isn't it? So he makes the path straight. Go with me to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm 5:8. Let's look at it at the screen. Psalm 5:8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. God desires for you to have a straight path. Not one that winds around. You know, when we were in Hawaii, my family was in Hawaii in 1987 or 88. My dad, for the first time in his career as an insurance agent, he made the Millionaires Club after being in an accident that shattered his hip that year. And he spent 60 days in traction. And the first time in his career, he made the Millionaires Club, which meant every year when you make the Millionaires Club in life insurance, they send you on a trip. And this trip was to Hawaii. But there's some significance about this trip. My oldest sister, who led me to the Lord, she was doing a DTS in the Philippines, and she happened to have an outreach in Hawaii the very same time that our trip was going there. Tell me that God is not a good God. Anyway, while my friend and I, we snorkeled, my parents and their friends, they went on this road to Lahana. Now, the road to Lahana has 650 hairpin turns and about 150 one-lane bridges. Now, if you can imagine six people in a tight car taking that many curves, they didn't make it all the way. They made it halfway and returned because it was just too many curves, too many turns. God doesn't want you to live like that. He wants you to live straight. Straight and narrow is the path that leads to life. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Okay? So God will make his path straight. Here's some facts about the path of the Lord. Just write these down. Psalm 25:10. The path of the Lord are mercy and truth. Psalm 119:35. The path of the Lord is the path of his commandments. Proverbs 2:10 and Proverbs 3:17. His are paths of peace. Proverbs 4:11 and Proverbs 8:20, they're paths of justice. And Proverbs 12:28, it's on his path there is no death. I like that. All right? So aren't you glad that God is making, he's preparing the way and he's making straight paths. He wants the king to have easy access into your heart. He wants to make the king coming into your heart as easy as possible. Then the other part of John's ministry was, every valley shall be filled. God wants to fill you. Amen? God came from heaven to earth so that you can be with him. You can be filled with faith. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with strength. And you can be filled with the knowledge of his will. He wants to fill every valley. A valley is a low place. Some of you, maybe you're in a low place in your life and you don't think that you're ever going to make it out. You don't think that you're ever going to see the light of day. But I tell you what, there's someone who can fill that valley. There's someone who can lift you out of that valley. There's someone who can pull you up out of the miry clay. There's someone who can reach down into that valley. His arm is not too short to save you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He can reach down in the valley of your life and he can pull you up. He can fill you up. So if you're running on empty, you're in a good place today. God doesn't want you running on empty. Try running your car to Illinois on empty. It's not going to work. You got to fill it up. Today is a filling day. God wants to fill you with some Bavarian cream of the Holy Ghost. He wants to inject some strawberry jelly into your life so it's overflowing. When you bite into it, it squirts out everywhere. I just said that so you know that God is good. Can you tell I favor cream-filled donuts? He fills you with good news, good things, and joy. He fills you till your cup runs over. David said in Psalm 23, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Well, you can't have an overflowing cup unless someone's filling it. And notice, your cup was meant to overflow. Some of you need to get into the overflow. Preachers, you don't preach out of the inside the cup. Preach out of the overflow. get into the overflow. Amen? We got to get into the overflow. He'll fill you. In Isaiah 35, he talks about the deserts being watered. Do you understand the significance? A desert is a dry, barren place. And you may be in a dry, barren place in your life, but God's got some water that can reach the deserts. He can change the deserts so that they'll blossom and bloom. Not just an oasis, but he can transform the deserts of your life. He can transform the dry and barren places. See, in deserts, people wander. They can't really stay in one place all the time. They got to wander because food is sparse sometimes. But you know what? God sustained 2 to 3 million people in the desert for 40 years. He fed them in the desert. He supplied their need. Listen, just because you think you're in a desert, listen, God can make, he can bring his goodness to the desert. God is not limited to any geographical place on this planet. He made it all. In Isaiah 61, once again, don't have to turn there. I'm preaching. He gives good news to the poor. He heals broken hearts. You think a broken heart leaves you empty? Well, what do you think a healed heart does? It leaves you full. God will take out his spiritual welding tool. You know, welding takes fire. And he'll take his fire and he'll fuse that crack in your heart. And when he gets done, he's such a good welder because he was a carpenter, that you won't even be able to tell that there was a crack there. He'll take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh in its place. He fills the valleys. This is what he does. He opens prison doors. He liberates the captives. He proclaims the year of Jubilee. He comforts mourners. He beautifies the ash heaps. He gives you beauty for ashes. Today, take your ashes and bring them before the altar, and you'll leave with something beautiful. Because only he can make something beautiful out of ashes. He gives the oil of joy for mourning. You've been mourning? Let's oil you up today. The oil of joy was designed for mourning. Whether you're mourning a loss of this or a loss of that, the oil of joy, when it comes on you, you forget about what you were crying about. Amen? He'll alleviate the pain that was associated with it. Can you imagine John the Baptist wearing a camel's skin coat out in the wilderness like a wild man? I don't even know if he combed his hair. I know he didn't have Altoids. People probably had to sit on rocks. It was sandy, it was dusty, it was hot. But yet they came because they so desperately wanted to reconnect with their God. Today, you gotta reconnect with your God. You gotta let him take control of your life. Stop being selfish. Stop being prideful. Stop being critical. Oh, those are sins that we don't readily see. We think murder and adultery and that stuff is bad, but let me tell you something, the other stuff is just as bad. Sin is sin. Don't care what it is. It separates any sin. Every sin separates you from the life of God. And if you don't deal with it, it'll destroy you. We're going to deal with it today, though. You're going to go into 2014 out from the yoke of the dominion of sin. You're going to come out and you're going to win. You're going to come out victorious. Amen? You're going to be ready to charge into 2014 like The space shuttle taking off of NASA. Luke 1:51 to 53 talks about he scatters the proud, he puts down the mighty and exalts the lowly. Do you realize that when you humble yourself under God's hand, he will exalt you? But people who resist God, they're put down. God resists the proud. See, he goes on to say the other part of John's ministry, every mountain and hill will be brought low. The mountains and the hills represent the proud, the haughtiness, and the lofty. James 4:6 said God resists the proud. So proud means you are putting trust in yourself. Proud means you exalt yourself. Proud means I can never ask for help. People who can never ask for help are proud. And therefore, God resists them. You know what it's like to be resisted by God? You want God to do something in your life, but he's resisting because you're proud. Look at the kings that have fallen. Nebuchadnezzar, Sennacherib, Belshazzar. When they gave themselves over to pride, they were brought low. See, the mountains, see, the valleys are built up. You want to build up the valley, so then once it's built up, it gives you access. See, God wants to build up every sinkhole in your life. You know, we have sinkholes in Palmyra. What do? A sinkhole happens, but what do? They build it up so that you could drive over it, so that you could cross over it. Because when there's a gaping hole in your way, it's harder to get around it. But if it's built up, it's easier to get around it. You can go right through it. Every mountain and, see, some people have major pride. Those are mountains. Hills are minor pride. They're not as much pride. A hill isn't as big as a mountain, but God will bring both of them low. I didn't say that. John the Baptist did. Jesus did. The Bible says that. Go with me to Psalm. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Now, the things that I'm saying might be a little hard, but there's something good around the corner. All right? We got to deal with this stuff first. Listen, when God is first in your life, he's first in everything. The reason that you're here today is not because of our comfortable chairs or our comfortable environment or even me. You're here because you love the Lord. If you're here for any other reason, you're here for the wrong reason. Amen? And we come to church because, number one, Jesus is the head of the church. He said, I will build my church. This is the Lord's church. Amen? You and I, we are part of the Lord's church. The church is in this building. This is where the church meets. Church has got to meet somewhere. We got to gather together somewhere. Now, if your house can hold 70 to 100 people, then we can meet there. Come on now. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought low. You want to make yourself low, you don't want to have the Lord to bring you low. You want to humble yourself before the Lord does it. Because when the Lord does it, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be fun. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, he spent a period of time eating grass like a wild animal. That wasn't fun. But he refused to humble himself. He kept resisting what God wanted to do. He kept saying, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. Yeah, look what you did. Now you're eating grass like a cow. But when that was done, he had a change of mind, didn't he? He had a different perspective. You know, Jonah thought he could run from God's call. Let me tell you something. You can't run from God's call, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I don't care where you run, God's going to be there. Now, Jonah didn't have to be swallowed by a whale or a big fish. Jonah chose that route. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather obey God's call. I wouldn't have to go into the slimy depths of a fish's stomach. But this is what God will do. The proud resists him, but the humble receives him. The humble trusts him. Okay? All right. Verse 13. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So, if you're prone to pride, you need to give up your pride today and humble yourself. You have an opportunity to do it. The Lord gives you mercy. He gives you an opportunity to do it before he does. Now, he may not do it today, he may not do it tomorrow, but I guarantee you, if you don't deal with it, it will be dealt with. Then, another thing that John was going to do, he was going to make the crooked places made straight. You know, God makes things straight. He makes them right. He makes them aligned. He brings them into harmony. God takes discord. He takes chaos and he makes something out of it. Because God is a God of order. There is an order in the kingdom of God. There is an order in the things of God. Amen? We've got to yield to this order. Go with me to Isaiah 42, chapter 42, verse 16. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have so many. I like this, though. I used this scripture when I was trying to find out what God's will was for my life. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not been on, or that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Our prayer can be, Father, take the crooked politicians and make them straight. Amen? But you know what? Let's not worry about the politicians today. Let's worry about me. Your focus today is on you and the Lord and no one else. All right? How are you lining up with God? How are you following what God wants you to do? Amen? You know, go with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. There was something that Jesus did here. And look at verse... You know what Jesus did after the wedding of Cana? He had to clear out his temple. And John chapter 2, verse 12, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he made a whip. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew tables. My, what a loving Jesus we have. He said unto them that sold doves, take those things, from here, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. And here's what the Lord showed me. When our bodies, which are the temple of God, when they're used for ungodly things, God has to clean house. God will come in and he will clean house. He will set things straight. He will straighten out the crooked things. Why? Because when we partner with the world and when we partner with the flesh, then we are not partnering with God. And when we partner with the world and we partner with the flesh, we're going to be led in error, we're going to be led astray, and our paths become crooked, all mixed up, confused. But our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to yield our members for righteousness. We're supposed to let our hands be lifted up for praise and prayer. Did you know that you have holy hands? Say, I have holy hands. Say, these hands of mine are holy. These hands can be laid on the sick and they shall be healed. So what are you doing with your hands that aren't holy? That's crooked. Deception is crooked. Lying is crooked. Cheating is crooked. In April, you're going to pay your taxes. Pay all your taxes. Do what's right. Otherwise, that's crooked. And God will have to come straighten out. He'll have to take his iron. You know what you do with a hot iron? You straighten out the crinkles, right? Last night, I was ironing this shirt. Because I washed this shirt, but this shirt sat in my... I didn't get a chance to iron it. So last night, I wanted to iron some shirts. So I plugged in that iron, which had heat. And I like the steam. I don't use starch or anything. I use steam. And when that steam touches the crinkles straighten up. So sometimes, God has to turn up the heat in your life. Because that's the only thing that will straighten out those crinkles. Those crinkles have been crunched up and molded up and shaped up, and God has to apply the heat to straighten out these things. So when we let our temples do ungodly things or do worldly things, you're not partnering with God, and God has to straighten it out. Young people, that's why God gave you parents. So that they can help straighten things out. Because as a young person, sometimes we don't see the results. We see the fun that it is, the pleasure that it brings, but you know, sin is only fun for a season. So he's got to straighten the crooked things out. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're almost done. Amen. We're going to see the glory of God today. Right now, I'm just going through the closet, getting stuff out. Amen? Yeah. We're getting stuff that's going to go to the yard sale, never to return again. We're going to remove the blocks and the bondages and the sins and the chains that have held a grip on your life. The anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost is going to break it completely. Yeah. Hebrews 12. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Your hands have been hanging down for too much. When praise comes in, you got to kind of throw your hands up there. Your hands have been hanging down for too much. This is a stick up. I'm about to rob you of your sin. We need to get our hands up. Did you ever see a person that won the lottery with their hands down? Oh, I won the lottery. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, I won the lottery. Oh. They get their hands up. They get to moving. Oh, but when it comes to praising the Lord. Holy Spirit's moving. There's really an intense moment of worship. Get the hands up! Well, I'm just not comfortable lifting your hands. It's about time you get comfortable! You're not comfortable lifting up your hands? You got to lift up your hands to put deodorant on. You might as well put your hands up to praise the Lord. The Bible said lift up the hands that hang down. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. God wants to heal you. Another thing that John came to do is he came to smooth out the rough places. Some of us were rough in the world. Some of us had tempers in the world. Well, let me tell you something. It's about time you smooth out that temper. You've got a Holy Ghost that's stronger than your temper. Amen? Stop talking about your temper and start talking about the Holy Ghost, and you won't have as much a temper anymore. Well, I always just fly off the handle. The reason you do, because that's what you say. You're doing exactly what you say. Change what you say, and your actions will become different. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Now, this thorn was not sickness. I don't care what people have preached about this. It irritates me when I hear that Paul's thorn was a sickness. It wasn't. Read the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12. It says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, comma, a messenger of Satan, comma, to buffet me. The thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan to beat Paul. You realize everywhere he held a meeting, he got beat up? There's no wonder that Paul needed a physician to travel with him. Luke wrote the gospel of, he wrote the book of Acts and the gospel of Luke because he traveled with Paul. Everywhere Paul went, there was a group of Jews that wanted to kill Paul wherever he went. And Paul was having a hard time with it. He talked to the Lord about it three times. He said, Lord, what are you going to do about this thorn? God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, God's grace helps us smooth off the rough places. Just as much as God has given us grace, give one another grace. God's grace is sufficient. Be strong in the grace of God. Amen? And let his grace, his ability, his power to smooth out the rough places. You know what? I've looked at some of you and I have seen a tremendous change over the years. I have been very pleased to witness the change that God has done in you. Some of you that don't like to hug, you hug a little bit now. Amen? You're coming along. You're doing good. You're opening up. Amen? That's good. You're experiencing God's grace. God's wiping off those rough places. He's getting out his sandpaper. And he's, you know, you gotta take sandpaper to smooth off the rough places. If you're going to refinish a piece of furniture, you first have to strip it. Then you have to sand it. Then you have to stain it. Then you have to stain it again. Then you have to seal it, right? Well, maybe you're just in the first sanding, but there's a second sanding, amen? So just let God's work do his work. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He'll smooth out the rough places. And then finally, all flesh will see the glory of God. Today we're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see God's salvation. Because when you come up today and you lay your burdens down, you relieve yourself of the weights that you've been carrying, you repent of the sins that you've been doing, you're going to experience the freedom and the power of the Holy Ghost like never before. And you're going to be in a better position for God to move through you in 2014, and you're going to see great things happen, amen? When the people came to hear John, they got in that water, they were baptized, and they were ready to receive Jesus. And shortly after Jesus came, and once Jesus was baptized, John's ministry ended, and now it was the Holy Ghost and fire to take over in the name of Jesus. We're going to see some things in this church. We're going to see some things in this community. We're going to see some things in our families. We're going to see some things in our kids, in our teenagers. You're going to see God's hand move in your life. How many of you ready to go hear John the Baptist preach? These are some of the things he would have said. I mean, you read how he talked to the soldiers and the Pharisees, you brood of vipers. How dare you call me that? Isaiah 52. Go with me there. Isaiah 52. We're going to look at verse 4. Isaiah 52, verse 4. Well, let's look at verse 1. Awake, awake. Wake up, VCF. It's time to wake up. It's time to come out of the slumber. It's time to come out of the spiritual slumber. It's time to connect with the Almighty. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust. Sometimes God needs to shake you from the dust. You got some dust hanging on because you ain't been doing nothing. You've just been sitting there collecting dust, and God's got to shake the dust off of you. He's got to get some spiritual end dust and wipe you up and lather you down so that you can shine. When something is dusty, it's ugly, but when you take that pledge and you go across it, there's a shine to it. God wants you to shine today. We got to get rid of some of the dust. Arise and sit down. Stand up and sit down. Oh, Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bands of your neck. It's time to be loosed. We're going to loose you and let you go today. Hallelujah. You may have come here with some grave clothes. You may have just come out of the tomb like Lazarus. And Jesus told the people, he said, loose them and let them go. We're going to loose you and let you go today. Hallelujah. O captive daughter of Zion, for thus says the Lord, you have sold yourself for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. Yeah, some of you sold yourself to slavery, to Satan, to the world, to the pleasures, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the source, that's the root of all sin, right there. But you're going to be redeemed without money. You're going to be redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn, and there the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Some of you have been oppressed without cause by Satan. We're going to loose the oppression today. You're going to be able to spread your wings and fly. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, says the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. You're going to know his name today. His name means God is salvation. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. Enough talk. Now it's time for some action. Now, God wouldn't put this on my heart for nothing. Believe me, I didn't endeavor to sit down and do a message about John the Baptist last day, but I'll tell you what, God put it on my heart. And you're here today under the sound of my voice. And there are things that people have to change. They have to improve on. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. Today is a day to make a right turn. You're going to turn right to him. You're going to turn your hearts to the God. He's already turned his hearts to you. Amen? And you're going to repent. What? You're just going to change. Don't get... Repentance just means to change. Change your the way you think about things. Change what you believe about things. And then change your actions. Who wants to be better? If you want to be better, if you want to do better in 2014, then I want you to come up here right now in Jesus' name. And there's power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
I want you to come worshiping God. I want you to come ready to receive. And we're going to lay hands on you. And we are simply going to say, in the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. There's power in the name of the Lord. That name is sufficient for whatever you need, whatever you want, and whatever you desire. But then you need to take his name and you need to live like you've been changed. You need to live differently. You need to walk differently. You need to think differently. And the Holy Ghost is going to come in this place. He's already here. Hallelujah. Let's keep singing that song. I want you to sing it. There is power in that name. There's power in that name. And when we lay hands on you and the anointing is going to touch you, you need to receive it. You need to carry it. You need to walk it out. And is there anybody here that Jesus is not your Savior? You don't know that if something happened to you tomorrow, that you'd go to heaven. You don't know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where you need to start. Is there anybody here that never accepted Jesus as their Savior? And you want to? I want to introduce you to the Savior because he loves you. He wants your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there will be some that hear these words and they won't change. They'll miss out on God. So God loves you. Let's sing that song. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in his name. Hallelujah. There's mighty, mighty power in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You start at one end, I'll start at the other end. We're going to break some chains today. Addictions are going to go. I don't care what the addiction is. It's going to go. It's going to break. It's going to loose. And you're going to be free today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus.